Wimbledon is underway. And maybe if you've ever watched it, you wonder who has the time and the money to go along and watch. And we want to mention the money because it's a story in itself. Being a spectator at Centre Court tomorrow would cost you just under £1,400. That goes up to nearly £4,000 for the men's final, or about $7,500 New Zealand dollars for one person for the day. And watching the women's final costs less than half that, by the way. Debenture tickets this year are priced at £80,000. Debenture is a fancy name for season tickets. The All England Lawn Tennis and Croquet Club is selling 2,500 of those, and that price has gone up by 60%. At Wimbledon, you buy five seasons worth, which would entitle you to 65 days of tennis at around $2,000 a day if you never missed a game. But, of course, people do miss games, so they can on-sell those tickets, and there is no shortage of buyers. Simon Cambers is at Wimbledon. He's a freelance journalist and broadcaster writing for The Guardian and The New York Times. Good morning, Simon.
Good morning. How are you?
Good, thank you. The history of these debenture tickets at Wimbledon, how did this tradition arise? It seems strange to us in the colonies.
It seems strange to you. It's pretty strange to us too, to be honest. But it goes right back to 1920-odd when Wimbledon needed money to build centre court. And they figured out that this was a good way of doing it by selling some pretty flashy tickets that people could actually use as an investment. And that's how it began.
These are pretty much the hottest tickets, Simon, on the British sporting calendar.
They're up there, that's true. I mean, the great thing about them, or the thing that separates them from any other Wimbledon ticket, is that they're the only ones that can be resold legally. You know, you'll see a few others flashing around here and there, but generally, these are the only ones that you'll get resold, which is what the investment is. I mean, you know, people will put in a lot of money for these tickets, but they know that they can make their money back and make a profit.
I read last year, would this be right, someone purchased a five-year debenture, sold 2 years' worth of it for double what he paid.
Yeah, that sounds absolutely right. I know people who bought debentures and told me that the way it pretty much works is because you get one ticket per debenture per day of the championships, which is only 13 days. So if you divide that by the amount you had to pay for the tickets between 2016 and 2020 was 50,000. Of course, they've gone up to 80,000 now for the next 5 years. But he told me that all you have to do is sell half of those tickets, and you could use the rest yourselves, but you'll get enough money from the other half to fund that 50,000, which is incredible, isn't it?
It sounds like one of the world's great investments.
It is a great investment because the other thing you can do, it enables you, it gives you the right first dibs, if you like, to buy it again for the next 5 years. But it also, the great thing is you can resell it to the club. You can give back your debenture at the end of the 5 years for the price you paid for it. So you cannot lose, except for in real terms, but you know you will recoup your money.
Wow.
If you've got a spare 80 grand flying around, it is good money.
It sounds like it. I'm going to try and scratch that together. who holds them, Simon, in the main? Who holds the debentures?
Well, to be honest, Ed, anyone can. I mean, they're difficult to get hold of because you put your name down and there's a big waiting list, etc. But in theory, anyone can. But of course, it is people with money to burn.
Yeah. Are these the seats you see either side of the Royal Box? They're well positioned, most of them. Have I got that right?
Yeah, that's right. They're sometimes right behind the Royal Box and just to an angle. So you have a very good view, and you also are within reaching distance almost of some royals and some dignitaries.
Okay, so they're attractive. And you get seen by the cameras, I suppose, every so often.
Yeah, if that's what you're after, then that's good. You get that too.
Simon, how can the All England Lawn Tennis Club justify an £80,000 price tag on a five-year pass? It's a 60% price increase, isn't it?
It is, yeah. I mean, I think it sounds bizarre, doesn't it? And it is. To most people, it is an awful lot of money, of course. But I think Wimbledon will admit, if you ask them, that they underpriced the first lot, the 50,000. And they realised that as they went along, and they realised that 80,000 actually was something they could quite easily get for these tickets. So they maybe underpriced themselves first and then corrected it with the second version.
It'll bring in £201 million before tax. That is whopping, isn't it?
I know. If I was thinking the other day back to 2009 when they announced this grand plan, which was going to be including the number one court roof. which of course opens for the first time this year in the championships next week. And I asked them at the press conference, you know, are you taking out loans for this? Where are you getting the money? And they said, no, we'll get it out of our own funds. And they meant debentures, of course. And so now, with these the next lot of debentures, they will fund the acquisition of the golf course, which was leased to the golf club across the road. And they've sort of shortened that lease. They'll get it back in a few years' time. And that will enable them to expand the championships to a new level, take it to a completely new level. So they use that money for capital investments mostly.
You say that anyone can buy the debentures. I read a piece on The Hustle online alleging that the Royals own a decent percentage of them. Do we know who actually owns them?
No. I mean, you won't be surprised to know that that list is not out there, or certainly is not given to people. I mean, you can sort of get an idea from if you were monitoring it year in, year out. And as I said, it's people who've generally, they get passed on through families or down generations almost. But it's not a list that they like to give out.
And the five-year period. We're used to season tickets that just cover a season, literally. But it seems odd embracing 5 years.
Yeah, I think it's just, well, I mean, it's a lot of money, isn't it? If you were going to be dishing out money every year for 1 year tickets, I suppose, and you've got to, some of these tickets that people sell of their debenture tickets that they do sell in the tournament are probably going to be to people who buy them for not just that year, but the year after. They set their calendar around Wimbledon. They come from, a lot of them are sold to people from overseas. So people probably need a lot of time to line these things up. So I imagine that that's part of the reason that they are 5 years and not just a year.
And is all you get a plastic seat, basically?
you don't get a nice green plastic seat, you mean?
Sorry, that's right. But you don't get special catering, and they don't bow when you arrive. It's just a seat.
You do get access to the debentures lounge, which is a nice little restaurant. And so you do get a drink and something to eat. So you do have a little bit more than an excellent view.
When you get in, Simon, with your media pass each year, does it make you smile just a wee bit when you think of wealthy people shelling out thousands of pounds?
It might do if I allowed myself to think that. It could do. To be honest, I wish I had £80,000 spare, because it does, yes, sound like quite a good investment to me.
Doesn't it, though?
But that's why I have the media pass.
Yes, right. In your time, out of interest, which of the great finals have been truly worth that money? I imagine most of the play that you would see day-to-day at Wimbledon, especially early on, isn't really worth those huge bucks.
No, I mean, there are obviously massive matches that stick in your mind. The Federer-Nadal final 2008 was one. I mean, the semi-final last year, Nadal and Djokovic, was amazing. We've had lots of incredible matches. You know, you think of the Isner-Mahu one that went on for ages, 3 days, across 3 days, but that wasn't on centre court. But I mean, I was just doing some research, looking back at the Borg-McEnroe match in 1980 and,
yes,
and that incredible tiebreak. There have been some matches that would have been worth a lot of money.
I know. There have been some glorious ones over the years. And what are you picking this year, please? Any thoughts?
Ooh, it's a tough one, to be honest. I think Novak Djokovic is the worthy favourite. I think he'll be a bit wounded having not won the French Open, which he thought he was going to win. Federer would be dangerous, of course, but he's 37. I mean, how much longer can he keep doing this? I don't know. And on the women's side, it's really open between a lot of very, very good players, all of whom have won Grand Slams. I think Ash Barty may back it up, you know. Won the French, and she's got a great game for grass. Why not?
Okay. Interesting thoughts from you. And very good to talk with you. Thank you for sparing us the time.
No, my pleasure. Thank you.
Simon Campbell. We might talk to Simon next weekend too.